and encouraging us to step up and to embrace and to start organizing and to get our members active. Thank you very much for that.
So, Tom, you want to tell our listeners how they can check in with the AFL-CIO here in Oregon?
This is a really important election. It's us against the Koch brothers. It's us against the 1%. Go to our website. You can put in Oregon AFL-CIO. That'll get you there. Or www.oraflcio.org.
So in closing, I'd like to remind you of two announcements. There's a lupus walk this Saturday, actually September 9th. It's at Waterfront Park. It's really important for people to get out there. And also the Coalition of Black Trade Unionists. We meet on the second Tuesday of every month, 6 p.m. at the American Federation of State County Municipal Employee William Lucy Building, located at 6025 East Burnside, Portland. Please come join us on September 9th. Again, thank you very much on this crowning day for labor. Holla!
To you, the 9-to-5-er, just making your way home. To you, the all-night driver, out in your cab alone. To you, waiting for lunch break, as the minutes drag so slow. Take courage, turn the volume up, it's Labor Radio.
KIBU is preparing for a legendary book and record sale happening on Sunday, September 14th at the Volunteers of America building, 537 Southeast Alder Street in Portland. We're accepting donations of books, comics, LPs, CDs, DVDs, VHS, and cassette tapes, and all donations are tax deductible. Your discards are another person's treasure, and all sales benefit your community radio station, KBOO. So bring those donations down to the station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, during our business hours. For more information, please contact Jesse, 503-231-8032, extension 213, or online via email, volunteer@kboo.org. That's the annual book and record sale on Sunday, September 14th.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Giants of Jazz and Blues, a benefit concert for American music program.
Giants of Jazz and Blues will take place on Friday, September the 5th, from 7:30 p.m. to 10 p.m., and features woodwind virtuoso Benny Maupin and acclaimed trumpet player Terrell Stafford, who will be joined by numerous well-known Portland musicians, including Rebecca Kilgore, Andy Stokes, LaRonda Steele, and more.
The concert will be held at the Winningstead Theater, 1111 Southwest Broadway in Portland. Again, that's Giants of Jazz and Blues, a benefit concert for the American Music Program. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Enemigo Imperialismo, Enemy Imperialism, a bilingual community art exhibit that explores the dimensions of imperialism in the world today. The opening of this art show will be Friday, September 5th at 6 p.m. at the Independent Publishing Resource Center, 1001 Southeast Division Street in Portland. Artists around the world have responded to violence with work that questions the legitimacy of the state and empire. Enemigo Imperialismo points to one of our common targets in the fight for global justice and invites us to reflect on power, resistance, and self-determination. Again, that's Enemigo Imperialismo. The opening of this art show will be Friday, September 5th at 6 p.m. at the Independent Publishing Resource Center, 1001 Southeast Division Street in Portland. The show will be up until September 25th. More information can be found at kwoo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO is preparing for a legendary book and record sale happening on Sunday, September 14th at the Volunteers of America building, 537 Southeast Alder Street in Portland. We're accepting donations of books, comics, LPs, CDs, DVDs, VHS, and cassette tapes, and all donations are tax deductible. Your discards are another person's treasure, and all sales benefit your community radio station, KBOO. So bring those donations down to the station, 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, during our business hours. For more information, please contact Jesse, 503-231-8032, extension 213, or online via email, volunteer at kboo.org. That's the annual book and record sale on Sunday, September 14th.
Sometimes you see that I'm mad. Don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good.
Good evening. Welcome to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli, and this evening we're talking about media used for social justice in promoting awareness around prison issues, including political prisoners. And we have three amazing guests this evening. We have Mr. Claude Marks from the Freedom Archives, based out of the Bay Area, and Tim Rice from the B Media Collective and organizer for the upcoming Cascade Media Convergence. And also, we're here with Walida Imarisha, who is a writer, educator, activist scholar, and she's also with the Sundiata Akoli Freedom Campaign. Walida, how are you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Can you please talk a bit about Sundiata Akoli, who he is, and we know there's an upcoming event here in Portland that's with the National Day of Action too.
Yeah, absolutely. So Sundiata Akoli is a political prisoner. He has been in prison for 40 years, 40, four decades. He was actually born in a small town in Texas. And then he went and worked at NASA. So he was actually a NASA mathematician in the 50s and 60s and worked with Neil Armstrong, actually. And once the civil rights movement started, he gave all that up and moved to the South to register folks for voting part of the civil rights movement. He later moved to New York and became part of the Black Panther Party. And in 1973... he was arrested with Asada Shakur, who's a lot of folks have read her autobiography, and ended up being convicted for the murder of a state trooper and has been in prison for 40 plus years as a political prisoner.
Wow. Can you talk about the National Day of Action that's coming up this month?
Absolutely. So the Sundiata Akoli Freedom Campaign has been working a lot to connect Sundiata's case and to use art and poetry as a way of re-envisioning the ways that we engage with this as kind of a new way, a new media to look at his case, his situation. So we had, because in addition to being a mathematician, an incredible organizer, an amazing political writer, he's also a poet and a visual artist. So we had, May 2nd, we had haikus for Sundiata, where we had folks post haikus on social media in his honor, and it was incredibly successful. We ended up getting hundreds and hundreds of haikus. And so we decided to follow that up with the September 22nd National Day of Poetic and Hip-Hop Action for Sundiata Akoli. So we're actually coordinating a number of events across the country that will be poetry readings or writing workshops or hip-hop shows that answer the question that Sundiata has put forward. He put forward a writing prompt, and the writing prompt that he put forward is senses of freedom. So what would freedom look like, taste like, smell like, sound like, feel like after the revolution? So he's really trying to use this as a space for people to use art to be visionary about not just saying we want a new world, but saying, well, what would that new world concretely look like? So across the country on September 22nd, we're going to be coordinating events, including one here in Portland in honor of Sundiata, and really having a space to answer that visionary question, what does freedom actually look like, sound like, feel like?
Great. And the Portland event will take place on September 22nd. Can you mention where it's going to be and the time also for that?
Absolutely. Yeah. So the Portland event will be September 22nd. We are actually doing a poetry writing workshop and then a poetry show. Both of those will be at the Injoni Ethiopian restaurant. That's on Killingsworth, 910 North Killingsworth. So the poetry writing workshop will be from 5 to 6. On September 22nd, and then the poetry reading will be from 7 to 8:30. And we're going to actually have a whole host of incredible established poets and hip-hop artists here in Portland, as well as some new up-and-coming voices, everyone from Rochelle Rodizi Hart to Mike Crenshaw, who actually is one of the co-directors of KBOO, to Renee Mitchell, Black Butterfly, Ajamu Umi, and a number of other folks who are going to be coming out and reading poems in response to Sundiata's prompt, The Senses of Freedom.
This sounds like an amazing event. Walida, we don't have time to talk about the broad scope of just amazing political work that you do and education and writing. But, you know, since we're talking about this theme of media used for social justice around, you know, supporting prisoners or what have you, can you maybe just briefly talk a little bit about the importance of using that media, how it's used in context of the work that you're doing on the ground?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm a poet myself, and so I actually think that art is another way of knowing. I don't think it's just something, you know, we add on later. I think it's another way of knowing the world around us. And so I think through using art to explore these political issues, I think that it actually is what gives us that visionary idea to keep us going and to keep moving through the struggle. So I actually think that art and poetry are absolutely vital to survival and to us being able to transform the world into what we want.
Great. Thanks so much. You know, we're also here with Claude Marks from Freedom Archives, who's also, you know, amazing, you know, legacy actually of political work from dating back to the civil rights era, supporting the Puerto Rican independence struggle and what have you, and now doing a lot of amazing work with Freedom Archives. And Claude, how are you doing this evening?
Great, and thanks for the opportunity to be on, Adam.
Absolutely. Can you talk about the work that Freedom Archives has been doing, and if you also want to mention anything about Sundiata and or just supporting political prisoners, how that relates to doing media work?
Well, for us, our little angle, if you will, on integrating the issue of politics and culture is to understand the history of resistance. And of course, people like Sundiata are an integral part of it. Sundiata is one of about 20 people who remain in prison who share a history of commitment to the Black Panther Party and Black liberation. Our work has to do with trying to let newer generations understand who these people are, what the struggles were about, and to be able to pull the history in their own voices forward and allow them to continue to inspire people in relationship to the work and organizing and the ongoing resistance that happens now. One of the examples that I would point to is that somebody gave us a faded 16-millimeter film print that they found in their basement, which we received from them. And I started to go through the beginning and didn't recognize the footage, but on the can it said George Jackson San Quentin.
Wow.
So we digitized the 16-millimeter film, and it turned out to be a film that was never released that was made approximately in 1971, a lot of which was shot in San Quentin and dealt with the issue of the prison movement, the Soledad brothers, George Jackson, and Angela Davis. And one of the more brilliant parts of it is this interview that was done with George and Jonathan Jackson's mother, Georgia. I don't know if people are familiar with who George Jackson is. I mean, he was really one of the leaders of prison resistance in the country back in the late 60s, early 70s, mm-hmm. and was set up and killed by the prison in August of 1971, mainly because of the influence that he had and the role that he played in organizing other prisoners. So this happens to be a film which is really well crafted. We don't even know by whom. And it turns out that it embodies this amazing history and footage that nobody had ever seen. So we posted it up on our website. And it's one small piece of what we've gathered together mm-hmm. in this archive of material that represents, as I mentioned, both political and cultural resistance. And as Walida said, you know, there is, you can't have a healthy movement, you can't have a revolutionary struggle, you can't maintain a level of resistance without a cultural reflection that is totally integrated into the body politic and what we're trying to create, which is inspirational and artistic and imaginary and righteously political all at the same time.
Right. Well, in Freedom Archives, if people aren't familiar with Freedom Archives, you know, we would hope they also maybe go check out the website and see that, you know, there's also, you know, there's documentaries, there's, I mean, all kinds of different resources. The COINTELPRO 101 documentary is amazing, and there's actually a school curriculum that is provided with that film, too, for educators. And but another thing, too, is I think Freedom Archives is very successful in doing outreach as well and, you know, political organizing and kind of getting the word out and networking and stuff. And Claude, we understand you're going to be up in Portland for the Cascade Media Convergence. And can you talk about kind of that angle of the work, too, which is kind of networking with people doing you know, kind of if I can call it alternative media, if that's okay.
Yes, I mean, to us, it's really, you know, media isn't just a passive thing. Mm-hmm. And it is an organizing tool. And it is a way, as I mentioned before, of passing along the history from the past. And traditionally, in many societies, in fact, history is a totally oral process. And because our archive contains so much, particularly audio material and some video as well, we feel like we're carrying on that tradition of passing along not just information, but, you know, it's one thing to read what somebody writes. It's another thing entirely to hear what they have to say, and the passion in their voice becomes a major dimension of what gets communicated. And it's also a responsibility of people who are creating media, as you yourself know, you're doing a radio program, which we're on, of utilizing that in a way to help build movement. And so as an organization, we're not just this passive thing, but we play an active role in the community. We work particularly starting with high school students to restore some sense of love of history, which is beaten out of people because of its white supremacist nature, as the mm-hmm. curriculum in most public schools is, and to see that they can draw on the history of their own roots, of their own community and peoples, to give them the inspiration to figure out how to not collapse under the weight mm-hmm. of this empire, which is so, you know, bloody, as we know. So we see ourselves in a very activist frame, and it's one reason that we're producing documentaries and putting things out there as a way to let people know that the resource that we are about is in the community. It's not in an institution where you know, without the right ID, you can't have access to it.
Mm-hmm.
We really feel like we need to be the guardians of the history of resistance and the culture of resistance ourselves, and to make it as accessible as possible, particularly to people who aren't seen to have any value. And so a lot of young people were very alienated from, you know, the rigors of academia, and this material doesn't have to be held on to, as is often the case with academic libraries.
Right. And Claude will be talking more about this with other members of Freedom Archives at the Cascade Media Convergence, which is taking place in Portland September 19th through 21st. And we're actually also here tonight with one of the organizers, Mr. Tim Rice from the B Media Collective, and he's a organizer for the Cascade Media Convergence. How are you doing, Tim?
Pretty good, Adam.
Great. Can you just, you know, briefly talk about the nature of the conference and what's going to happen? What's the media conference going to look like?
Well, it's sort of inspired by an event called the Allied Media Conference, which happens in Detroit every year for the last 17 years. It'll be a gathering of alternative media makers. I mean, we'd say community media makers because there's all kinds of, you know, way people produce media. Basically, we want a regional gathering of these people, people that are doing work that is empowering people in their communities. It's been, I think, about 10 years or so since the last attempt at a regional media conference was attempted, and it was successful. It was back in 2005 in Seattle. So we thought it's been long enough. You know, the Northwest has a long history of strong alternative media institutions like Indie Media started in 1999 in the Seattle protests. There's other institutions that go back 30 years, even more than that. So we wanted to create an opportunity to bring these people together, one, to share their knowledge that they have. So hence there'll be workshops by various groups from throughout the region to say what they do, how they use media as a tool for social change. Also integrate into it, we're going to try and figure out ways that we can work together going forward from the convergence. So it's meant to be a starting point, not an ending point. So we'll have strategy sessions, breakout groups, where people can strategize within their medium or within their issue about how they want to work together going forward. And we have no idea what people are going to decide on. We're just kind of like creating the space for that exchange to happen. We definitely have ideas, which we will share ourselves, like some of the core organizers have been working on this for a few months. We'll kind of have our input, but we'll also, you know, see what everyone else wants to do. And, you know, maybe people don't want to do anything, but we hope they do. And we're going to use this as an opportunity to see what can happen.
Yeah, Tim, can you mention how KBOO is participating in this conference? It seems like KBOO's got a pretty big involvement this year.
Yeah, KBOO has been a big help in getting the word out. Several members are part of the core organizing group. There will be a hacker lounge hosted by the KBOO news team, which will have the they'll be working on the concept of the open newsroom. I'm not sure exactly what they're going to do, but it sounds really interesting. Mike Crenshaw will be involved. He'll do a hip-hop workshop. I can't remember all the ways that KBOO was involved.
And the performance on Saturday night with Mike, too.
Mike will also do a performance on Saturday night, a hip-hop show, as a showcase for the musical side of the conference, because maybe people don't just want to go to workshops or don't just want to go to, like, meetings. They also want to have fun and celebrate with each other. So that's an opportunity for that. Lots of ways that KBOO's been involved, and here's another one right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's also definitely a few things related to prison justice issues. I mean, including, you know, what Freedom Archives will be doing with Claude, and there's one or two other folks, right, that are former prisoners or doing prison work that are going to be at the conference.
Mm-hmm. The only one I can specifically remember on prison issues is Ed Mead talking about how print media was used during the Pelican Bay uprising a couple years ago. There's a lot of issues being covered, so two out of the 25 workshops covering prison issues is pretty good, but, you know, there's also a lot of other issues. So it's kind of a wide open thing, and, like, we cast a net out, see what people had to contribute, and luckily we will have a couple that will talk specifically about those issues, prison
Great.
Issues.
Yeah, I saw in the program Carlos, one of our KBOO Prison Pipeline Collective members and co-host, he'll be talking about his project with Morpheus Youth. and doing youth empowerment. They've actually been on the show before with the kids, doing presentations about different prison issues, which was also not only getting the kids educated on the issues, but learning how to do radio and make a program and edit pieces and what have you. So it was great. So we'll hear about stuff like that. So great. Well, before we wrap up, if there's any kind of last comments from folks and announcements, I want to make sure we get to mention the dates again, so our listeners who might just be tuning in know exactly when the Sundiata Akoli Freedom Day is on September 22nd. Walid, are you still with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Great. Can you repeat the details and if there's also a web link? I think there's a Facebook page too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So it'll be September 22nd, and then we're going to be doing a writing workshop based on Sundiata's writing prompt, What Would Freedom Feel Like, Taste Like, Sound Like, Look Like After the Revolution? So that'll be September 22nd at Njoni Ethiopian Restaurant, 910 North Killingsworth. The writing workshop is 5 to 6, and the performance is 7 to 8:30. And if folks can't make it to the event, we're actually asking folks to answer that writing prompt and mail it in to Sundiata. So if you can't come to the actual event, please still participate. We actually have postcard templates online that people can print out. It'll probably take a minute to fill it out, put a stamp on it, drop it in the mail. We're hoping to flood, Sundiata so he gets all of these positive, hopeful visions of the future that he, helped to inspire coming into him to feed his spirit and support him.
Great.
So folks can find information on the Facebook page. You can just look up on Facebook, Sundiata Akoli Freedom Campaign. You can also go to the website, which is just sundiataakoli.org.
Great. And Claude, if people want to learn more about Freedom Archives and the work with you, how can they get in touch?
We've got a real easy website. It's called freedomarchives.org. We also have a blog connected to that and our own search engine, so you can actually dive into the collection and see what is in the archive. In many cases, there are audio-video clips, rare papers that are scanned to PDF that can be read and researched.
Great, thanks. And again, you can meet Claude. You can see Claude give an excellent presentation with other members of Freedom Archives at the Cascade Media Convergence. And Tim, can you repeat what some of the details are, where it's going to be and the dates?
Yeah, I'll give the website first. It's cascademedia.cc. It will be happening, the daytime events will be happening at the University of Oregon Old Town campus here in Portland, which is at 70 Northwest Cooch. That'll be September 20th and 21st. And it'll be starting at 10 a.m. going to about 6 p.m. each day.
Okay, great. And there's also the Friday and Saturday night events that are kind of separate, right?
Mm-hmm. You can check the website for more details on that. The concert that we mentioned is going to be at Saturday night at the Lotus Seed, which is at 6 Northeast Tillamook.
Okay, great. So we want to thank our guests so much. You've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland, and listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. And again, I want to thank my guests, Walida and Marisha, Claude Marks, and Tim Rice. Thank you, guys. Have a great night. And we hope to get you back on the program soon. I want to mention that we're really lucky to have people like Walida and Tim in the Portland community doing all this amazing work, supporting prisoners, doing media work, media strategy, media literacy, outreach, the education involved too. We want to thank our engineer this evening, and we want to wish you a good night, and we'll see you next week.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh, Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood.
time is 6:59 p.m. You are listening to KBOO Portland. Coming up at 7 is Hard Knock Radio. But first, we'd like to return to the conclusion of the Catskill Review of Books segment that was airing earlier as a special Labor Day program during the evening news. This is Steve Early on the book Save Our Unions. Steve Early is going to be the first one speaking.
And we still need some form of national health insurance in this country to get that issue off the bargaining table and to give everybody the same kind of coverage.
All right. Well, do you think that the breakdown of the private welfare state is going to motivate the unions and politicians more to push for a single-payer system? Or has the Obamacare situation bought off the pressure?
Well, I think it is contradictory. I think certainly the greatest potential for going beyond the Affordable Care Act exists at the local level. I was just up in the great state of Vermont, where they're involved in a very difficult 3-4 year process to try to introduce in one state tax-supported universal coverage, replacing the patchwork quilt of private plans and public plans and no plans that cover Vermonters today. One problem, quite frankly, is that confidence in government's ability to provide universal publicly funded coverage, I think, has been eroded by the horrendously screwed up rollout of these unnecessary private insurance exchanges that all states are required to have under Obamacare. Even in Vermont, where they didn't want to have one, wanted to move directly to a kind of Medicare for all single payer system at the state level, they were forced to set up an insurance exchange, and it is, operated very poorly, created a lot of public backlash, and giving the Republican foes of any kind of real health care reform a lot of new ammunition. So that's not a positive development.
Yeah, I've got a personal experience. It took me 3